Praise the Lord. Let's stand. If you turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 66. Amen. Psalm 66. Praise the Lord. Reads as follows, says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doings toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. The Lord had a blessing. Amen. To the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Amen. On today, Father God, we are so appreciative of being able to come into the house of the Lord to make your praise glorious. Father, the great things that you have done in our midst, how you have watched over us, how you have kept us, how you have provided, how you have, God, delivered, how you've done so many things. You've touched our bodies, and God, we want to make your praise glorious on this day. We trust, oh God, that as we enter into this atmosphere of worship, that you would be pleased and that, God, your spirit would draw close to us. Father, may we feel the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost in this service today. Don't let us leave the same way we came, God. May we leave changed by your power. May we be elevated, Father, to another level. If there's a sinner in our midst, Lord, may they leave saved. If there's one, Father, lacking the Holy Ghost, may they receive it today, Father. Lord, of those that may be looking for a refilling, may they receive their refilling. Whatever the need is, oh God, we ask that you would meet it, Father. Amen. Today, we commit this service into your hands, and we invite you to join, Father, our worship. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Let's give him a hand of praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Oh, help me know you are near. You're all I want. Hey, you're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I ever needed. Oh, you're all I want. Oh, help me to know. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice. You're all I won't say. You're all I want. Yeah, you're all I ever needed. Hallelujah. Oh, you're all I want. Oh, help me to know. Come on, let's take it up. You're all I want. Hey, you're all I am.
Oh, you're all. Hallelujah. Yeah. Help me to know. Come on, sing it one more time. You're all I want. Yes, you are, Jesus. Say you're all. Yeah, you're all I ever needed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're all I want. Hallelujah. Hey, help me to know. Let's take it up. Say it again. You're all I want. Oh, you're all I ever needed. You're all. Hallelujah. Oh, say you're all I want. My, my, my. Oh, God, help me to know. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're all I want. Say. Oh, nobody like you, Jesus. You're all, hallelujah. Oh, you're all I want. Oh, my, hallelujah. Help me to know. Come on, one more time, sing with all your heart, everybody. Yes, God, you're all. Thank you, Lord. You're all I ever needed. Yeah. Oh, you're all I want. Oh, help me to know. Hey, help me to know.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many come to praise Him this morning? Amen. This song said, ain't no rock gonna cry out in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'm gonna praise His name. Is that your testimony? Praise God. Amen. Come on, put those hands together. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Live to glorify, I'll praise His name. Yeah, ain't no rock, no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise His name. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, praise His name. As long as I'm alive, I'll praise. Praise the Lord. Oh, hey, as long as I'm a hallelujah, ain't no bird. Hey, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise His name. Yeah, ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise His name. Praise the Lord, say praise the Lord. Oh, as long as I'm alive. Yeah, say praise the Lord. Hey,
ain't no tree. Ain't no tree gonna clap in my place. Hey, as long as I'm alive. Oh, I said ain't no tree gonna clap in my place. Yeah, yeah. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord, say. Yes. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey. Come on, sing it again. Oh, I said, praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together. Let the musicians play it. Come on. I'm alive. Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. Hey. Come on, ain't no tree. Oh, ain't no tree gonna clap in my place. Yes, as long as I'm alive. Oh, ain't no tree. No tree gonna clap in my hey. Come on, ain't no bird. Oh, now ain't no bird gonna sing in my place. Yeah. Come on, ain't no bird gonna sing in, yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Praise the Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. One more time. One more time. Praise the Lord. Hey, long as I'm alive, hallelujah, come on, lift your voice, praise the Lord, oh, as long as I'm alive, live to glorify, I'll praise his name, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm alive to glorify, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm alive, oh, as long as I'm alive, as long as I'm alive to glorify, I'll praise his name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody give him praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Yes! My God, my God. Turn around and tell somebody, long as I'm alive, I'm going to praise him. Long as I'm alive, I'm going to praise him. You're going to hear me praise him. Amen. I came to church with my loud voice. Glory, hallelujah. I know everybody that come through these doors got some trial that they're going through. But I want to encourage you in the words of this song, you can make it. You believe that? I said, you can make it. Actually, you already made it. Don't realize it.
So tell the devil, get thee behind me. I'm going to praise my God. Is that all right?
The song says like this.
You don't have to worry and don't to be afraid.
Come on.
Joy comes in the morning, in troubles they don't last always. Remember there's a friend in Jesus, oh, who will wipe your tears away. When your heart is broken, and when your heart is broken, come on somebody, hey, just lift your hands and say, gotta say this to yourself, I know that, yes I can, hey, I know that I'm, oh, no matter what may come my way, my life, come on. So when your tests and trials, they seem to get you down, come on, and all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found, remember there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And when your heart is broken, and if your heart, lift your hands, hey, I know that I can make it, can make it. I know that I can stand. I know that I, no matter what, no matter what may come out my life, oh my, come on, with Jesus I can take it, with Jesus, hey, with him I know, oh, no matter what, hallelujah, my life is in, come on somebody, oh, I know that I can make it, yes I can, I know that I can stand up. No matter what may come my way. Oh, hallelujah. My life. With Jesus, I can take it. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Hey, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Whoa. My life. Come on, somebody, lift your voice. I know I can make it. I know that I can stand. Yeah, yeah. No matter. Oh, my life is in your hands. Come on, lift your voice. With Jesus, I can take it. Oh, with him, I know. Hallelujah. Oh, no matter. Hey, one more time. My life. Here we go. Come on, say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. I know that I can stand. No matter. My life is in. Jesus, I can take it. With him I know. Oh, no matter, no matter, no matter what. No matter, no matter what. Come on, no matter what may come my way. Hey, I ain't going down. Hey, I'm gonna lift my hands in praise. No matter, no matter, no matter, no matter, no matter, no matter, no matter. Hey, no matter what may come. Oh, no matter what may come. My life is in, my life. My life is in your hands, my life. My life is in
One more time, my life is in your hands. Somebody worship him. If you know that you can make it, if you know that you can stand, somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to speak back to the devil and everything that he's thrown in your direction.
Say, no matter what may come my way, my life is in. No matter what, say, no matter what, my life. Come on, no matter what, no. My life, oh, no matter what, yes, my life is in your hands.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My God, my God. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. We have a couple specials, amen, this morning. We have Sister Shonda, amen. We have her. We'll have her come at this time. Sister Shonda, amen. Praise the Lord.
Even though my spirit's low, it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Many times I'm walking by faith, and I can see what lies before me, but still I see victory. And I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by his blood. Standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, because I believe you're bound to lose. And I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't covered by his blood.
Praise the Lord. We certainly appreciate that song. Amen. On today, sis, God richly bless you. Amen. We have Brother Solomon. Amen. He'll come at this time and sing a song for us. Amen. We thank God for him. Amen. Brother Solomon and Sister Naomi. All right. Praise the Lord. All right.
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and then my frustration gets around. I am reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. But when I look back on the victories and the Spirit rises up in me and is through the fire, my weakness is amazed for. The cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb.
He never offered
victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember.
Show up. Amen. and take you through the fire again. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate that one on today. My God, amen. Thank the Lord, amen. Well, let's, I know we got a couple announcements that I just want to make mention of. Our last special after our time of giving, amen, Sister Tanya will be singing. And I got a prayer request as well as just some of the announcements that we want to make mention. Sister's helping with the banquet decorating. Amen. Those that have been asked to help with the banquet decorating, please remain after service for a short meeting today. Also, the brothers' prayer meeting will be on Tuesday at 7:30, and we're certainly going to be praying about these meetings. We're looking for God to do something special. Amen. Not only for us, but for those that will be coming to worship with us, amen, during next weekend as we have the services. For next weekend, next weekend it'll be the banquet that we have. You had to register for it and pay for it last month. So those that registered and paid will have the banquet on Friday, at February 15th at 7:30, and then services on next weekend. It'll be Saturday morning at 10:30, Saturday night at 7 p.m., and also Sunday morning at 10:30 and Sunday night at 7 p.m. So keep that in mind. And a couple other services that'll be coming in a few weeks. Brother Wesco will be having a service there on Saturday, March 9th. I don't know the time yet. And also we'll be doing like a worship service, a lot of singing that'll happen there. And then on that Saturday night, and then that's right here in West Palm, as well as we'll have a church service on March 10th. That'll be a Sunday night, and I'll be ministering at that service there at Brother Wesco. So keep me in prayer, amen, on that. The weekend following Brother Wesco's meetings, there is a meeting in Miami. Brother Bernard, he has, I know Brother Wesco will be speaking, and Brother Vindial from Trinidad will be speaking, and that's going to happen Friday, March 15th, Saturday, March 16th, and also Sunday, the 17th. They have a worship a concert, I believe, there on Sunday the 17th. So keep those things in mind. Upcoming announcements. I didn't miss any birthdays, did I? Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. I gave Brother Garen a happy birthday about 3 months or 2 months early, so forgive me, brother. I knew it was on the 8th. I just had the wrong month. Amen. Amen. He say, okay, my birthday not to... I said, all right, I'm sorry, brother. I saw 8, and I said, I think I missed something. All right. But we thank God for all things. Amen. This prayer request... Sister Brown is asking prayer. She says, pray for the Hardnett family. Pray for their strength during their time of bereavement. A son-in-law was killed on his job. Amen. So we want to remember the Hardnett family and their time of loss. Just believe in God. We'll just touch them and undergird them and just bring them through. Amen. This time. Praise the Lord. So if we just make preparation for this morning's offering, I ask that the brothers come. Amen. And we will remember this prayer request for the Hardnett family, as well as we'll pray over the offering at this time.
Comfort them as they grieve over the loss of a family member, Lord God. Allow them to overcome this, Lord God, and allow it to be an opportunity for them to come closer into you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you just be with them each and every day as they continue to just move through this process, Lord God, and to overcome the hurt, Lord God. Lord, we also ask that you just bless today's tithing and offering, Lord God. Lord, let it be a furtherance into your kingdom, Lord God. Continue to just use your people, Lord God, to be a face of you, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you just bless your people who want to give, Lord God, and those who don't have, Lord God, bless them in advance for the things that they desire, Lord God. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. And Sister Tanya comes at this time.
God bless you. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to attempt to sing this little song. This is My Heart's Desire.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
Is that your testimony? You surrender all to the Lord Jesus. Amen. How we love him. Thank you, Sister Tanya. We appreciate that on today. Amen. Musicians, thank you all so much. God bless you. I certainly appreciate you all. I like our little system there. It's working out real nice. Amen. We just thank God for all things. Amen. Good to be at church. Amen. So good to be at church. I wanted to just encourage us as we are approaching this next week, amen, and our meetings. Want to encourage everyone, just if you could, just put a little time in prayer, just asking the Lord just to meet us here. And if God gives you strength, maybe you can just put a little time in fasting as well. We just want to see God, amen, move in the midst of his people. We don't know who will walk through the doors, and we don't know what their needs are, but we want God to meet them, amen, in this place. So just a little time in fasting and prayer, and I just believe God will honor that, amen, for us on this week. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read a scripture, and the Lord just kind of took me back this morning to a sermon that I preached some years ago. And I every time I read this scripture, just something just stir up in me. And I say, Lord, I can't get away from it. I'm going to just preach it. Amen. Since you stirred it up again in me. But let's turn to Psalms 18. Everyone standing that can stand. Amen. Psalms 18. Praise the Lord. I'll read roughly 12 or so verses. Actually, I think I put 22, but it should be verse 16. Start at verse 16 on that. Amen. Amen. It reads as follows. Says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. From them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. Everything else is, you know, shaky around you, but the Lord becomes your stay, right? He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because, why? He delivered me because he delighted in me. Man, I love these words. Ain't not because I did anything good. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him. And I like this. David said, and I kept myself. and I kept myself from mine iniquity. I had to say no to some stuff. But because I said no, God has brought me out into a wealthy place. Right? Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. And this is, I like this. I want to hit this a little bit. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy greatness hath made me great. In this last verse, thou hast enlarged my steps unto me that my feet did not slip. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony that David just writes here for us. And every time I read it, I just get encouraged and I get inspired. And I love the word of the Lord. I love the word of the Lord. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we turn our attention towards your word. Thank you for what you've done thus far in just a time of worship. The various specials that have gone forward to strengthen and encourage our hearts, we thank you for that. The musicians, Lord, who surrendered their talents to you, God, to lead us in music, we thank you for that. But God, we realize that it's going to take the word to give us power to overcome the enemy. So do something for us, Lord, today in your word. Speak, God, in an only way that you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to, amen, use for our title, He Drew Me Out of Many Waters. Amen. He drew me out of many waters. And I want to just use for a little inspiration on today, sent, took, drew. Amen. Sent, took, drew. Amen. Just a little tie-in here as we prepare for our meetings on next weekend. The prophet speaks this in the message, A Hidden Life in Christ. Just a couple comments before we get into our subject on today. It says, in believing after seeing America with its great opportunities it's had for revival, and yet it continually gets worse. So it alarms me, this is my land. And I was born here, and I love it. Says, and I'm wanting to see a great revival in my day. And I wish everybody felt the same way. I'm wanting to see a great revival in my day if we can. And he makes this comment, now I can't bring that great revival. Now, with all the anointing that was on the prophet, he realized that by himself, he could not bring the great revival, right? He says, and no minister can. So we're not looking for, amen, your favorite preacher to come and bring the revival. He says, but we can put in our part while God brings it. Amen, church. That's I think is important. That's why we ask for a little fast and a little prayer, because if we put in our part, God will bring the revival. Amen. We can put in our part while God brings it, and each one of us has a part to play. Amen. I'm going on to another sermon here, kind of along the same lines here in this message, expectation. He makes the comment, says, now a minister cannot bring a revival. Glory to God. A minister cannot bring a revival. There's no preacher can bring a revival. He doesn't pack it with him. And the only thing he can do is just be loyal to God and his word, and the revival has to come by the people. And notice where it starts. In your home, right? In your life. Glory to God. Now, revival isn't adding new members to the church. It's reviving that what we've already got. To revive means to bring back. Hallelujah. So we're under expectation that God gonna bring some things back. Oh, yes, Lord. Amen. Bring back that old-time Holy Ghost feeling. Amen. Bring back that anointing that destroys yokes. Bring back that feeling that, amen, people can't help but go hug their brother and hug their sister and cry on their necks and do all kind of stuff like that. Because amen, where the devil tried to put division, God has restored. Bring back that type of feeling in the church. Bring back the love. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let's get rid of the waywardness and bring back the love for God.
Hallelujah. Bring back, amen, them good old days. We want to be revived. We want God to bring it back. Brother Branham goes on. He starts in that same message. I won't read it all. You can maybe skip down to paragraph E7 for me just for a little bit and take it down. I just want to set this up. But as Brother Branham just talking about this this revival, he said he was out on Lake Michigan. And he was telling, you know, when he was telling the church about this, amen, in Long Beach, California, he said, look, I'm a landlocked citizen. That meant where I'm at, I don't see these big lakes and doing all this kind of stuff in the ocean because of where he lived in Indiana. He said, I'm a landlocked citizen. So he said, when, you know, things that may be common to y'all, it mean a lot to me. Right. He said, so I come out. He said he was there in Chicago on Lakeshore Drive. And amen, looking at Lake Michigan, he said he saw the water just kind of getting troubled a little bit. Amen. As the water began to get a little choppy, a little trouble. And, you know, he was just wondering, now what make that water do that? Hallelujah. He said, there's not any more water added to it. It's the same water all the time. He said, but something just began to stir in the water. So at sometimes the water is very peaceful, and then the other times the water gets very choppy. And he said he just began to take a little inspiration from it. He began to watch that water just get more and more choppy and just running up on the banks and running back out. A wave come in, a wave go out, wave come back in. But then he noticed something with those waves. He said, now when the water gets choppy like that, amen, the purpose of that is so that the ocean or the lake can actually get rid of its trash. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. The purpose is so that lake can get rid of the trash that's in it. Amen. So he say every time a big wave would come, the wave would be washing trash onto the shore. And we are under expectation for a wave of the Holy Spirit. And when the wave of the Holy Spirit comes, I'm expecting trash. Come on, somebody. I want to come after the meetings with my trash can. My spiritual trash can. And I want to get the trash out your life. I want to get the trash out my life. And we want to put the trash in the trash can. Hallelujah. Anything in our lives that does not please God, let it be washed onto the shore. I'm under expectation. It's trash cleaning time. Sometimes we get lost in the things of the world, but it's trash cleaning time. I'm declaring that. Hallelujah. Lord, bring. I mean, we're looking at God to send that anointing that break the yoke of the enemy. You know, I was thinking to myself, I'm so glad folk come to church. You don't know how happy I am when I see people come to church. But there's only one thing that makes me disappointed is when they come to church and they not change. And this is not a hangout.
Right.
Right. This ain't something we just do. My mama go to church, so I go to church. No. That ain't what we talk about. Amen. We come here to get right with God. I hate, amen, seeing people come here and sit underneath this word and then leave here and do something against this word. That just messed my spirit up. Can I be honest? That's why I'm looking for the trash to get washed. Amen. The way that we think need to be washed. The way that we act need to be washed. Some of the clothes we wear need to be washed up to the show. I'm talking about an anointing that'll make you go home and clean out your closet. I'm not talking about an anointing that just stay with you in here. An anointing that will follow you home. An anointing that will give you dreams. And an anointing that will wake you up at night. An anointing that will show you that you don't miss the rapture. And it'll cause you to get in a hurry for God. Amen. I'm talking about an anointing that will shake you. Praise God. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're under expectation for. See, we had that anointing in my generation. Amen. I can talk to you about things that how God cleaned up my life in my generation, but I want to see the same God that helped clean me up start cleaning the fourth generation up. Come on, somebody. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God can change me, he can change you. You just got to be in the right atmosphere. Because we stayed in the right atmosphere. Even when we didn't want to be changed, God changed us anyway. Hallelujah. If your mom and your daddy done put you in the right atmosphere, I'm expecting God to honor their, amen, honor their deeds. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We were watching for the trash to be washed up to the shore. It wasn't adding new members, but it was reviving the ones that we already had. Amen. You did run well, but who hindered you? Hmm? You used to be in a certain place with God, but I ask the question, who hindered you? We want the hindrances out the way. Amen. If they're not adding to you, let God take them from you. Can I say it again? If they're not adding to you, let God take them from you. All right. All right. Amen. So let me just look at this. Let me read paragraph E7 on that. Amen. It says, what it must be that the lake's having a revival, that must be what it is. It's having a big time just jumping up and down. I thought, that's good. That's fine. But, you know, I thought, well, wonder if it gets a lot of extra water when it's having a revival. I thought, no, there isn't one drop more in it right now than if it was perfectly calm. Not one bit. It's the same water, but just having a revival, jumping up and down. I thought, well, what good does that do? Come to find out, when it's having a revival, jumping up and down like that, and I'm expecting, you know, the Holy Spirit to make some of us jump up and down, yes, right? But when it's jumping up and down, it washes all the trash out. Glory, washes all the trash out of it up on the shore. That's what the church needs, is a revival. Get all the world and things of the world washed out so it can look clear. Now look at that. Not only look clear, but be pretty again. You want your beauty restored? Get rid of the stuff of the world. Amen. Get rid of the stuff of the world. Amen. If you want to be pretty again, when it all comes down, it's got the same amount of water. But what causes the sea to do that is because there's a wind come, begins to blow against the waves, blow against the body of water, and pick it up. Well, that's what the church needs, amen, tonight, is a mighty rushing wind coming down upon it again and reviving it and getting all the world out and the things of the world out. And that way, then it starts a revival. And then when it settles down, the church is all in a condition then to start off then to receive spiritual gifts and blessings from God. That's what we want. Can the church say amen to that? That's exactly what we're looking for. So, you know, as we just prepare ourselves for what God is getting ready to do in this place, amen, my expectation is that true revival will strike, and the revival will be the washing of the trash onto the shore. That's what we're under expectation for. Now, I want to talk about this, amen. Actually, I'll tell you what, let me give me Ephesians church age, and then I'll go back to a couple things here that I want to hit. This has just been a thing, and we're still kind of riding this one quote. We've been riding it for almost a year, and we brought it right into this upcoming meeting so that you'll understand. If you hear the ministers preaching in a certain direction, I gave them this quote, and if the Lord leads them down this path, then we're going to welcome that. But this is what my expectation is. This is what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this. Revelation 2:4, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, this is what God is saying to the church. I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone. So this is something for all of us, right? This message is to the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. Its message then is to all generations in that span. Now notice he says, now history keeps repeating itself. In the generation of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, But in the fourth, there may be no vestige, which means no trace, no vestige whatsoever of that original flame.
Right.
And that's a very, very dark condition. That's a very dark condition, amen, when it gets to that spot. And you already know what the rest of the quote says, but I want to inject the scripture. Keep it right there. Keep the quote there. But I want to inject the scripture because we all know that we're seeing this darkness settle upon the people. Even in the message, we have seen this darkness. But when I was reading in Psalms 18 and I got to verse 28, David said, because David was in some dark spots. And David said, for thou wilt light my candle.
Oh,
hallelujah. The Lord God, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. So in this season, since we've seen all the negative, I'm expecting the positive. And the positive on this negative is then God. Hallelujah. And I said it before him, I say it again. We have entered into the season of then God. Then God lights the fire again. And why can't it happen in these meetings? Why can't we set the expectation for God to do that in these meetings? We want to see the then God. Amen. If the rest of the quote has happened, what about the end of the quote? The then God part. Then God lights the fire again. Oh, hallelujah. And when he lights the fire again, he say the same process is repeated. That means the revival that happened in the first generation, amen, it'll be the same revival that will now happen in the fourth generation when God lights the fire again. Oh, hallelujah. And the same process is repeated. It's simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there's any truth to the apostolic succession. It isn't in the word. You start out with the truly born again believers. And when the next generation comes along, they're no longer just plain Christians. All right. It keeps degrading. But they have taken a denomination name and are not Baptist, Methodist, etc. That is exactly what they are too. They're not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God, not the will of man, to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. And I don't say that some of them aren't right with God, not for a minute. Not for a minute do I say that, but the original fire has died down. They are not the same anymore. So we're looking for that original fire, the then God season, the original fire to come back into the church. That fire cleanses us. That fire purges us. That fire gets rid of the things of the world. You understand that, right? Because oftentimes when you see people walk away from this word, the first thing creep in is the things of the world. It's the first thing. That's an indicator that they need a then God experience. Hallelujah. I'm under expectation. David said, for thou wilt light my candle. He says, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. And I was just thinking on that. A candle is only needed when things get dark. You don't need a candle in the middle of the day.
That's right.
But when things get dark, that's when you want the candle.
That's right.
You got to have one around.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't do anything. You can't function without just a little bit of light.
Right.
And when you light a candle, it has a way of, amen, I can turn off, at night I can turn off all the lights in this building. And sometimes I've done it, sometimes it's in the middle of the day and all the lights off and I'm stumbling around. Glory to God, right? But if I had a candle, hallelujah, a candle actually illuminates the entire room. A candle, amen, allows me, it takes a certain element of fear.
Right.
Away from it, right? I'm no longer stumbling. I know exactly where I'm placing my feet.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I ain't going to bump into a chair and hurt nothing, right?
Right?
Amen. I know where my feet are going because the candle, amen, gives me light for direction.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The candle, amen, allows me to take another step of faith.
Right.
The candle just does so much for the purpose of the candle is to provide light. Amen. And I want to say this. Amen. We had a God lit a candle in this day.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. I used to be stumbling around in darkness.
Right.
The darkness of denomination.
Yeah.
I went from the Baptist to the Pentecostal. Oh, I'm headed somewhere. Amen. I went from the Baptist to the Pentecostal. Some of y'all was Catholic. Some of y'all was Methodist. Some of y'all was all kind of stuff. Some of y'all came out of the world. But God lit your candle.
Yeah.
gave you light that you can walk in the midst of the darkness.
That's right.
Things was dark in this Laodicean and age, but God provided me a light. Listen, and I want to tell the church this morning, I'm walking in that light. I'm walking in the light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Moses walked in the light of his day. Moses needed his candle lit.
Right.
There was darkness in Egypt.
Yes.
But where the believers were in Goshen, there was light.
Yes.
They had their candles lit in their day.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Noah had his candle lit in his day.
Yes,
and with Noah having his candle lit in his day, Moses having his candle lit in his day, they could make preparation for the destruction that was coming in both of their days.
Yes.
Amen. Those in Moses' day could put the blood on top of their doors and on the side,
right,
because they were walking,
right,
under light.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. David didn't just record these words for nothing. God needs to, amen, light somebody's candle.
Yes,
if you've been stumbling in darkness, no longer you have to do that. God will light your candle.
Amen. That's right.
Another thing about a candle. If I have a candle,
uh-huh,
and you have a candle,
come on now, talk about it.
If I get mine lit,
yes, sir,
you know what?
Uh-huh.
You ain't actually got to go through the process,
yes, sir,
that I went through in order to get mine lit. I might have had to strike some rocks together. I might have had to rub some wood together. Come on, somebody. I had to work to try to get this thing sparked.
Right.
So I can get my candle in there and get it lit.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I get mine lit, you ain't got to go try to spark it. You ain't got to work that hard. Hallelujah. And anybody that ever worked that hard to get their candle lit, amen, they don't want to see their neighbor work that hard. So what you do when your neighbor bring their candle? You don't give them a rock. You don't give them a wood. You just give them your candle. And when my candle's lit, it can light your candle. And when your candle's lit, it can light the next person's candle. Hallelujah. You need your candle lit, and God will light your candle. Hallelujah. See, when we're talking about your candle being lit, I'm talking about you walking in the revealed word for your day. That's what I'm talking about. This is not a natural thing that we talk, but I'm talking about you actually walking in the revealed word for your day. That's the light for your day. Moses had light for his day. He had the revealed word for his day. Noah had revealed word for his day. God sent a revealed word for your day. Not only did he sent, he took, he drew. He sent. He took. He drew. Because David said it in Psalms 18:16. He said it, and I just want to refer back to it just for a little bit. Hallelujah. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. I want you to just catch those words again. This to, every time I've read this, the first time I read it and God inspired me to preach a sermon from it, it seemed like every time I go back to it, I just think on it a little bit more. He sent from above. He took me, drew me out of many waters. Now let me just, I want to coast there a little bit. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, so just bear with me. This scripture that we read in Psalms 18 is actually, amen, also recorded in 2 Samuel 22. And I want to go back and just pull 2 Samuel 22, verse 1 through 7. When I start reading this, I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to stop reading it. Because I just begin to just kind of reflect on what David is going through. But here at the beginning of 2 Samuel 22, it gives us a little glimpse of what David is experiencing. Hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 1 says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. So when we really think about what I just read, he sent, he took, he drew, amen. This was a song. This was a song that David was writing. You know, he was a musician. So this was a song that he wrote. And the first time I preached this, amen, the song still had inspiration. Because from that song, Sister Burrs wrote a song. Huh? She wrote the song. He drew me out of many waters. So this word still has inspiration. Come on, somebody. It worked for David, and it'll work for you. But notice now, it says this, says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, I want you to get something about this. The song could not be written until he went through something. I want to tell you, you can't write it and you can't tell it until you experience it. Amen. Hallelujah. God used what David was going through in order to birth this song. Amen. If God gives you the ability to write poems, you can't write it and you can't tell it until you go through it. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
David wrote it after he went through it.
Amen.
Now, let's look at what David's going through.
Come on now.
Verse 2 says, and he said, the Lord is my rock
and
my fortress,
come on.
My deliverer. Now, you got to imagine David is in caves. Yeah. David is hiding from Saul. Yeah. Not only is David hiding from Saul, but he got other enemies on the other side. Amen. His enemies have him surrounded. You know what I feel now. It may look like. It may look like I'm surrounded. But I'm surrounded by you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. David was going through all these things. But David began to declare. He said, the Lord is my rock. I mean, God is my shelter. God is my defense. God is my everything. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Look at it. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He says, he is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. He keeps on talking about him, my Savior. Hallelujah. I love it. David just kept putting commas. I got some more to say about him. I got a little bit more to say about him. And he just couldn't think of enough adjectives to describe his God. Can I read it again? The God of my rock, in him will I trust. Look, he is my shield, comma, and the horn of my salvation. He's just thinking about it. You got to get on the scene. You got to get the inspiration of the writer. He, the horn of my salvation, comma, my high tower, comma, and my refuge, comma. Amen. My Savior, comma, thou savest me from violence. Think about what he's going through, because he was saved from having to do something to Saul. Right? I mean, God said, he said, thou savest me from violence. So I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Look at it. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And I love this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. I want you to know that God hears everything you're going through. And he will respond to you the same way he responded to David. See, when David was writing, amen, this, it was based on the experience that he was having there with Saul and also with some of the other enemies that he was fighting. David had so much that he was going through. He depended on God. He depended on God. And I think, amen, this whole chapter, amen, not just a song, because typically when you're writing a song and you're under the inspiration of writing a song, you're writing it based on an experience that you just faced. Something that was really dear, amen, to you. That's why a lot of times I like when songwriters actually, amen, present their songs, I like to hear their testimony. Talk about how the song came to you. Tell us a little bit about that, because that song is actually written from an experience. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you've ever written a song and you wrote from your experience, then oftentimes you can minister to other people from the things that you went through. God allowed that song to be birthed for a reason. Oh, come on, somebody. While David is writing this, what I see in his mind, this is a reflection of what God has already brought him through. Now, stay with me here, because this is where I get to sent, took, drew. He said he sent from above. Let's read it again, Psalms 18, 16. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Sometimes you got to stop and just think about it. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Now, when I looked at that, amen, sent, took, and drew were all past tense. That's not what he gonna do. This thing is already done. So if he sent and he took and he drew, oh my God, this thing was already pre-planned, foreordained before I got to the situation. Can I just give y'all a little definition of this sent? Amen. I went, just looked it up a little bit, and it says sent means to cause to go or be taken to a particular destination. It's to arrange for the delivery of. Hallelujah. And it say especially by mail. So I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you ordered something from somebody. And as you were ordering this package, it was very important. Some of y'all maybe have something that you're waiting on. Amen. For the banquet. Hallelujah. Can I talk to you just a little bit? If you've ordered it online, Amazon got your package. And you know that you've paid for it. And if it hasn't arrived by the time that you expected it to arrive, then you begin to make telephone calls. Hallelujah. Amen. And those telephone calls have a little pressure on them because you want to understand what done happened to your package. You're not calling the representative just to say hi. Are y'all going to talk to me today? You're not calling just to say hi, but you have a request. I need to know what happened to my package. I paid for it, and this is my bill. This is my receipt. I can tell you the day that I paid for it. I can tell you exactly how much it cost. So you begin to question them, where is the package? And if you were on the other end taking the phone call, there's one way to defuse, amen, the other person that's irate on the other end. And the way you defuse them is that you tell them what the tracking number is. Because if you can give them a tracking number, that shows that the package is not being boxed. That shows you that the package is not sitting on the shelf. But that shows you, that tells them the tracking number says that the package has already been sent. And if it's been sent, then I can track it through UPS. I can track it through FedEx. I can get encouraged when I know that the thing has been sent, because any day now, this thing gonna arrive on my doorstep. Can I tell you something? You done prayed about it, and God is responding to you this morning. That thing done already been sent. You've been praying about your son. You've been praying about your daughter. You've been praying that bill will get paid. It's already been sent. Hallelujah, somebody. When you find out that something has been sent, it changes your expectations. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't waiting for them to get this thing packaged up. It's already been sent. I thought about David when he said these words. Why would David use the words he sent?
Come on, man.
From above. Woo. You want to know why David can use words like this? Because David remembered a time in his life.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm talking about before he received his anointing. I'm talking about before he received his anointing.
Yes, sir.
David was in the field
Watching
sheep.
Right.
God had already rejected Saul as his king. Y'all with me? He had already rejected Saul as king. And then he told Samuel, he said, just stop even mourning over Saul. He said, I already raised me up another king, and he's in the house of Jesse. Y'all stay with me now. He said he's already in the house of Jesse. And he said, now what you do is take your horn of oil. Now and remember, Brother Carrion told us if it's a horn of oil, that meant something had to die in order to get a horn of oil.
Right.
Some ram had to die in order to get this anointing. Jesus had to die in order for you to get this type of anointing. You didn't get this on your own. Something had to die to give you this. So here comes this horn of oil, and he takes it down there to Jesse's house, and Jesse began to ask, now, did you come in peace? Did you come in peace? He said, yeah, I come in peace. He said, we're going to have a sacrifice here today, but the Lord told me to do something right with you in your house. God has a king in your house. I want you to stay with me. He said, king here. He said, yeah, the next king is living here. One of your boys is going to be the next king. Now, the prophet didn't know which one. The prophet thought it was the first one that came into his presence. He's like, this got to be him. Look at how he stands. He dresses like a king. He looks like a king. God said, no, don't look on his outward, but I'm looking at the heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
and when you read the scripture, amen, when the oil did not pour out on the oldest boy and it didn't pour it out on the second oldest, the Bible said that seven sons passed before the prophet.
Right.
Oh, stay with me. Seven sons passed before the prophet. But here comes the eighth boy, not even considered that he could be a king. He is sitting in the field, but God had already sent a prophet to his house. The man did not even know he was a king in the field, but God had already sent his identification to the house. The package was in the house before David got there. The anointing was waiting on David.
Yeah.
Amen. Huh? Amen. You think you're waiting on God. God is actually waiting on you. God is waiting on you. All God needs you to do is show up. Come out the field. Come out of whatever it is that you're going through. Come on to the house. I got something for you.
The
prophet said, and we know that David's father nor his brothers even thought of him. Because the prophet had to ask the question, do you have any other boys? So, yeah, I got one more. He's out there. He got the Lord's job in the house. He's watching sheep. And when he said, go get him, because we're not going to eat till you bring him here. So when they brought David into the house, God told him, something struck the prophet. God said, now get up. This is him. This is the one. And then here come the oil just seeping all out of the horn onto David. His family saw him anointed. They knew he was the king. Oh, hallelujah. But David could write these words that he sent from above. Now, I had to piggyback off of that. While David was in the field watching sheep, God sent a prophet to anoint the next king. While I was in sin, I didn't know it, but God had already sent his only begotten son to die in my stead.
Yes.
Huh? Not only that, while I was in denominations, I had no idea. Even before I was born, God had already sent a prophet.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. The package was waiting on me. There had to come a day that I will walk in and hear my name being called. Huh? But the package was already sent. I didn't have to go to heaven and wonder when the package was going to get here. It had already been sent. What you need to do is just track it. And you went from denomination to denomination. What you was doing? You were tracking it. Hallelujah. And when you got here, because stop, when you see my wife, stop there. No more tracking. I got the package now. Look at this. While I was in my denomination, I didn't know God sent me a prophet. While we were in the world, we didn't know God sent us a prophet. Right. But this thing was already sent. He sent from above. He sent from above. Sent is past tense. That means the thing already happened. Oh, my God, I hope that don't go over our head. Not only did he send it, the scripture says that he took me. He took me. And I looked at the definition of this. It means to lay hold of something with one's hands, reach for and hold. Reach for and hold. He took me. And when this came to me, I thought about you, Joseph. And I wanted to use you for an example. You don't mind, just stand here with me. Stand right here with me. He took me means he reached out for his hand. So let me hold your hand, the other hand. He reached out and he took me. See, Joseph was just sitting here minding his own business. But I came down from the pulpit. Yes, and I reached out and I grabbed his hand and I. So where I go, he go. When I stop, he took me. When I was laying in sin, you know what he did? When I was in denomination, when I didn't know which way I was going to go, he came down and he took me. He took me. He took me. I didn't take myself, but he reached down his hand and he took me. Even know what I was looking for, but God allowed certain situations to happen in the church. God allowed certain things to happen in the world. Maybe a relationship went bad, but in the midst of that, God was reaching down his hand so he could take you. He knew exactly where he wanted you to go. David can say, I was in the field watching over my daddy's sheep, playing my instrument. But he sent a prophet to my house. And when he sent the prophet to my house, then the prophet took me and anointed me with oil. And something had to die for me to get this anointing. But he took me out of all the people that he could have chosen, out of all my brothers, out of all my family members, out of all the other church people that I was going to church with, he took me. Amen. Sent. Took. Drew. This is past tense. Sometimes you didn't even realize that he had took you. He took you out of harm's way. You should have been dead and gone. But he took you. Somehow he was there protecting and shielding you when you didn't even realize it. And even didn't have sense enough to stop and say thank you. But he took you. David, when facing Goliath, could remember where God had took him from. And I want to read this out of Works His Faith Express. It says, David was with a shepherd's sling, expressed to the whole Israelite army the faith that he had in their God. Now, there was Goliath on the other side, and he stood out there and made his boast many times bigger than David. He had fingers 14 inches long, and he was a mammoth big fellow, the Philistine giant. And here was David, the smallest one. He was even too little to be in the army, too much of a runt. They couldn't use him, so his brothers was out there in the army, and then Goliath was making his boast. But David, now remember, it was revealed to David. He thought, here is the armies of the living God standing in their own land, and there's a boasting, uncircumcised Philistine out there. We'll call him cancer. We'll call him paralytic. Why? David was no kind of match for him, not with any kind of a weapon. He was no match. That man's shoulders was probably 10, 12 foot across. He was probably standing 14, 15 foot high, a spear like a weaver's needle, probably 20 foot long, the blade on it maybe 4 foot across. And little David standing there in a little piece of leather, goat skin or sheepskin, with two pieces of string tied to it. See, this just goes to show us God always works in small things. But it was revealed to him. Revelation struck him. Amen, he said. The God that took me out of the paws of the bear, that took me out of the paws of the lion, how much more will he deliver that uncircumcised Philistine in my hand? You got to think back of what God has already brought you out of, what he's already took you from. And if he did it before, he will do it again. His brothers way more able to do it. Saul head and shoulders above his army. But you see, it wasn't revealed to them. Amen. There it is. They believed it could be done. They believed that God could do it. But it wasn't revealed to them. But it was revealed to David. So there's the difference right there. If it's absolutely revealed to you that God is going to heal you, you're going to get it. See, this can't be intellect. It's got to be a real revelation. You're going to get it. I don't care what's wrong with you, with what's the odds it may be worse than David and Goliath, but if it's revealed to you. See, I mean, you know, oftentimes I want to say this. Church, I remember Brother Troy making a comment a few weeks ago. He said, what's 1 + 1? You say 2. And he said, who told you that? And he said, I just figured out. No, you didn't. Somebody had to teach you what 1 + 1 was. So through your intellect, you understand what 1 + 1 is, what 2 + 2 is, and they even give you little shapes and stuff, right? And say, now, here's one little shape, here's another little shape, 1 + 1 equal what? Now you got two shapes. They give you all kind of stuff to drill that into your mind. Hallelujah. And sometimes spirits, if you're not careful, you can come to church, you can hear me quote the prophet, right. You can have faith in what you're seeing God do for other people, but not necessarily have faith for yourself. Intellectually, you know what God did for Abraham. Intellectually, you know what God did for Noah. Intellectually, you know what God did for Moses. You can read that and intellectually get that. And you can explain it because you read it in the Bible. But do you have faith to believe that the same God can do it for you? Has he, the same way he revealed to Abraham that he was going to have a child, huh? When all the odds was against him, has he revealed it to you? Because once he reveals it to you, come on somebody, then you will act the way Abraham acted. When he reveals to you, like he revealed to Mary, that she was going to have the Christ, amen, the child Christ, then you begin to act like Mary acted. Hallelujah, somebody. Mary began to testify. See, when it becomes your revelation, you begin to testify about it. Can I say that again? When it becomes your revelation, you begin to testify about it. And you testify before it happened. Otherwise, you're still walking in fear. You need God to light your candle. Oh. All right, church. Glory to God. This thing got to be real. It's got to be a real revelation. Whatever you might be going through, God is able, amen, to take care of that situation. Let me look at this one other thing that I want to bring out here. Amen. The final word, he's sent from above. And when I think about that, God sent a prophet to David's house. God sent a prophet in your day, and you didn't even know it. I wasn't even born before the prophet died. Hallelujah. Can you think about that? I wasn't even born before the prophet died. But when I realized in the word that God had already sent it, all I had to do is track it. That's all I had to do is track it. And you don't realize it, but you done tracked right to where the package is. And you might have thought you just stumbled in here. No. He sent, he took, and then after that he drew. And this is good, because when we talk about being drawn out of many waters, just by using the terminology many waters, I have to, you know, just look at the scripture. I think it's Revelation 17:15. Let me just grab that real quick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Yes, yes. Revelation 17:15. Glory to God. When I think about being drawn out of many waters, I reflect on this scripture. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So to be drawn out of many waters, I was drawn from amongst many people. Right? Amen. There was a, you know, when I look back in my own life and I just think about, man, I was the denominations that I went to and the churches that I fellowship with and all of that. Amen. I did all that, and I had a lot of friends that was there. But when God lit my candle, when God began to reveal his word to me, and I began to see more things in the scripture. Hallelujah. I want to make sure we get that. I began to see a little bit more in the scripture. Hallelujah. I begin to realize, no, it's more to this than just Daniel in the lion's den. Yeah. It's more to this than just what happened on the ark. Yeah. Right. Amen. I can start preaching from the book of Revelation now. I ain't got to be in church for 40 years and afraid to read the book of Revelation. Huh? Amen. I understand what these things are, because God has sent, God has took, and now God has drew me out. Oh, glory to God. Amen. God had purpose for bringing me to this light. Remember, I want to go back and say something now. Remember, there were seven boys that passed through the prophet. David would have been the eighth son. Eight is a powerful number. Because eight actually represents two things. Eight represents the number of new beginning. But also eight is made of two circles. And a circle represents eternity. It has no beginning, nor does it have an ending. And eight is two circles. Amen. Representing eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. So David being the eighth, the other seven brothers would have actually represented seven church ages. But David was the eighth. Oh, my God. I'm going to just say it, and then I'm going to read a quote, amen, that'll give us a little help. But and it's not a new age. Yeah. Amen. It's not a new age. It's not one outside the Bible. It's just understanding that we're not Laodiceans. Right. Laodiceans are blind, miserable, poor, wretched, naked. That is not your condition. Therefore, you must be somewhere else. And the prophet put you there. He sent from above. And the prophet put you somewhere else. The prophet put you in the bride age. And the bride age is an eternal age. Oh, glory to God. All right. All right. Let me just read maybe a little something on that if I can. Let's see if I got this. I had a little quote that I want to just bring in, and then we'll, I'm so glad he sent. This is out of I've heard, but now I see. Let me just bring in this quote, then I'll finish up this. He drew me. Drew me out of many waters. I could have still been stuck in some of them churches, but God drew me out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look, he said that critic saying, why would a God of mercy could open up the Red Sea, stand and let them poor Christians be eat up with lions and burnt and everything, set up just like he laughed about it? The poor ignoramus. Did he not know, except a corn of wheat falling to the ground, it had to die through those dark ages like any other corn of wheat has to go beneath the earth and be buried to bring forth in the first Reformation them two blades of Luther, the stalk. It had to come forth in the Wesleyans out yonder to bring forth the pollen, the tassels, the great missionary age. Had to come forth in the Pentecostal for the restoration of the gifts. So God was dealing with the Lutherans. God was dealing with the Wesleyans. God was dealing with the Pentecostals. But now God has moved on. Amen. If anybody in here know anything about growing up Pentecostal, you know the church left the word. You know they did. Ain't no way. I mean, there were things that they do today would have never been done. When I was a little boy, it would have never happened in the church. Never. You come in there with your miniskirt if you want to. You will have a sister with a sheet. Y'all don't know nothing about that. You couldn't dress that way in there. Huh? Yeah, I mean, you couldn't. And now, see, Baptist, I was Baptist. Baptist, they did anything. See, back in my, I'm just talking about back in my day, they had homosexual choir leaders. So when you went to choir rehearsal, your mama had to go with you. You thought that your mama was just giving you a ride because you couldn't drive. No, your mama was watching the choir director. Anytime that choir director get a little too close to their child, they right there on them. Come on, y'all ain't gonna talk to me. It's the truth, anyhow. See, I mean, in the Baptist church, because they had to pay for their musicians. Hello? Huh? Because they had to pay, they put anything up. You have a gay fella up there playing, and he just finished singing. His partner's sitting right next to him. In the church. Huh? Oh, God. And then it got worse. Y'all don't believe, y'all probably ain't going to believe this. Yeah, y'all ain't going to believe this. It got so bad, and the reason that they couldn't get rid of him, because they found out later on that there's a couple people in the church having a relationship with this guy. Y'all don't believe that, do you? Pastor get caught. Deacons get caught. Everybody living in sin in the Baptist church and still going to church. God ain't in nothing like that. Don't you put God in nothing like that. God ain't in it. They got a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And that's why I can say he sent. Took, drew me out of many waters. And right now he's sending, taking, and drawing out. You just don't realize the package is on the way to your house. Glory to God. When you turn on the radio, it's a package coming. Sent, took, drew. This quote I was reading here, he had to come forth in the Pentecostal for the restoration of the gifts almost to deceive the very elected. Because see, you know, everybody's so in love with the gifts. And that's something that I just love God. I enjoy seeing gifts in operation, but I don't think gifts should control the church. I think the word of God should control the church. I mean, I got people, and let me tell you something, everybody will not speak in tongues. That's not everybody's gift. Look, in the body, just look at your body. If all your body was a tongue, what part of the body would be able to pick up something? What part of the body would be able to allow you to walk? See, you need feet in the body, a good body. I'm talking about not one that's deformed. It can't all be a tongue. It can't all be a tongue, right? We need some eyes. Somebody with some wisdom. Huh? We need somebody with some knowledge, right? Amen. We need somebody on mind touching somebody that got healing flowing through. Huh? We need hands. We need feet. And also, another thing about the body, you need some things that can't be seen. Huh? You need a liver. You need a heart. Glory to God. You need things on the inside working. Otherwise, the outside will do you no good. So we want the whole body that God allowed for the church. Not just the tongue part. We want all of it. But I want you to understand, we've come through through church where people have put the other parts of the body out. So you got one that want only tongues and one that don't want no tongue. We want it all. But everybody ain't going to be a tongue. Paul said it. It's in the Bible. I ain't got time to read it. But you can go back and read in Corinthians what Paul said it. So church, we, you know, this thing here, he said the great missionary age, this quote says, had to come forth in the Pentecostals for the restoration of the gifts, almost to deceive the very elect. Looks like a wheat grain opening up. There's no wheat there at all. So with all that speaking in tongues, all that shouting, and you cursing? So out of the same mouth you bless and curse? That's not what I want. Amen. Hallelujah. And go on. Go on a little further. You say, no, there's no wheat at all. It's only shuck. But back in there, then they begin to form the oneness organization, the Trinity organization, the two-ness organization, and the Church of God organization, all organized in just death exactly. Now, what happens? But it's a shelter for the wheat. So your experience inside those churches was a shelter till God got you here to tell you what he sent. And then he show you where he took you from and why he drew you out of many waters. Look at it. Let's go on. He says, and now what happens? But it's a shelter for the wheat. It's been growing through it all the time. Now it's begin to pull away. The wheat's begin to be seen. This is not a Pentecostal age. This is the latter day age. This is the bride age. This is the evening light. This is when Malachi 4 must be fulfilled to follow God's pattern. This is Luke 17:30 to be fulfilled. This is, amen, he says in Jeremiah and the rest of them that Joel has spoke of these days. This is that day. I have heard, Lord, that it was coming, but now I see it with my eye. Church, I'm so glad he sent, he took, and then he drew me out of many waters. See, the last quote that I'll read will be out of Smyrnian church age. But let me just finish off with just a couple comments. David could reflect when he thought on these words. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He can reflect on where he had come from. He was forgotten about in the field. Nobody thought that he would be royalty, but God knew he was there. God sent the prophet to his house. He was the eighth son to pass before the prophet, which represented, amen, a new beginning as well as an eternity. And we find also over in Leviticus 23:26, they were to offer for 7 days an offering made by fire. But on the eighth day, they were to have a holy convocation. See, the eighth day, when you really think about it, you know, you start with Sunday. Go from Sunday to Monday, Monday to Tuesday, Tuesday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday, Friday to Saturday. You hit 7 days, but the eighth day gonna bring you back to Sunday again. Hallelujah. And that's why, so if you start on Sunday and end on Sunday, you are in an eternity. And the eighth day, they had a holy convocation. Glory to God. So when we talk about, you know, we think about just all the ages that have come forth. I mean, from Ephesus all the way to Laodicea, amen, all those different ages. But here we come into what we call the bride age, and God is calling us back to perfection. We thank God for this. I can look back like David could look back and say, you know what? He sent from above. He took me. I was just sitting there like Joseph. But he came down and just grabbed my hand, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. From all the confusion, all the nonsense in church, he drew me out. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. This last quote I want to end with here today. Hallelujah. Smyrnian church age. Hold this carefully in mind. Now take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood brought back his own. He brought back the spoken word seed bride. You want, and now listen to this. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. You want to know why folk, you know, there's some folk can come to church and they'll hear me say, Brother Branham said. Maybe like, what in the world are he talking about? Why he keep doing that? Why he keep saying it? I ain't going back there no more. But there's others that could come and hear me say, the prophet said, Brother Branham said, like, now, I don't know what he's talking about, but everything he read about this prophet seemed to be something to it. See, the person that's identifying like that, that's the person I'm talking about that he sent. He took. And he drew me out of many waters. Come on, somebody. I didn't even know how I got here. All kind of circumstances was created to get me where I am right now. Oh, my God. I can reflect like David. He sent. He took. He drew. Look at this. I'm going further in this quote. My sheep hear my voice. See, and when I say the prophet said, if you're a true sheep of God, you know I'm not elevating Brother Branham. You will know I'm not elevating a man, but it's the voice of God through his prophet. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. If you were living in the days of Moses, when he went off the scene, he told Joshua this book of the law. Yes. What book of the law? Did Joshua have it himself? Where did Joshua get the book of the law? From a prophet. Yes. Moses. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Sorry, I'm sure Joshua was going around telling the people, Moses said, when God sent a prophet, we want to, and I'm not talking about just a prophet. Let me put it this way. I'm talking about a prophet that fulfilled Malachi 4, a prophet that fulfilled Revelation 10. God had already sent those scriptures before that prophet came, and that prophet walks out, fulfilled those scriptures, and then he leaves and goes right back to where he come from. That's why I could say God sent from above. He sent. Just like he sent a prophet to David's house. Now, the average denomination can't say nothing like that. He sent a prophet to David's house while David was in the field knowing nothing. And I'm typing that to me. I was in the world knowing nothing. I was in the church knowing nothing. But God had already sent. It wasn't coming. It was sent. It was already past. By the time it got to me, it was past tense. But even with it being past tense, this is what God already done. It was still for me. So he sent, and then he took, and then he drew. Look at this. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. Capitalizing me is Christ. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That is impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind, and there is no change in species. As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice. If I could put it in today's message terms, just I'm going to talk about what I'm preaching right now. It had to come a day where you tracked the package. There had to come a day where you would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard his voice and we cried out, as did the prodigal son, "Son, save me, O my Father, I am returning to thee." And I love this. This is a beautiful story that the prophet gives us. He says the Son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he is a son. In fact, a lot of true Christians, and I love that because, you know, you can be in denomination to be a true Christian. And can I say something else that a lot of message folk ain't going to agree with? You can actually receive the Holy Ghost in denomination. You want to know evidence that you got it? The Bible say the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's evidence that you had the Holy Ghost before you got to the message. Because it led you to the truth. And when you got to the truth, then you realize he sent. He took. He drew me out of many waters. A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he's a son. In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched out under a hen. I mean, you was born underneath a hen. You know that eagle is a type of a true believer, of the true believer? Well, a farmer took an egg from an eagle's nest, and he placed it under a hen. I don't know why that farmer do something like that. But I don't care where you place me. When I come forth, I am what I am. In due time, all the eggs under the hen hatched out because the environment was right for the egg to hatch. The baby chicks got along fine with the mother hen. But that little eagle could not figure out the clucking and scratching for food in the manure pile. He managed to make a living. I can go along with y'all for a little bit. I ain't really enjoying this. But, you know, I'm here. I got a church home. You know what I'm saying? But he managed to make a living, but he was pretty confused about it all. But one day, from way up in the air, see, some revelation that ain't never been said before. What in the world was that? Way up in the air, mother eagle that had laid the egg spied that little eagle on the ground. She swooped down with tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice from him to fly up to meet her. Now you got to understand, mama didn't go down and pick the eagle up and make the eagle come up. Because, you know, when eagles are taught to fly, what typically happens is mama take them out the nest and take them for a flight. And when she takes them for a flight, she puts them underneath her wings, and she just go out, and they just go soaring and sailing, and then it just feels so good, like, oh, yeah, mama, we enjoying the ride. And then all of a sudden, mama say, she hit it real hard, and they fall. And when they begin to fall, they begin to tumble, and say, and maybe one of them get it, like, stick one wing out, say, hey, up, got it up. Oh, mama, I got this thing, you know. But the other one ain't got that kind of faith. And they ain't stuck nothing out. And they just tumbling and tumbling. Oh, I'm about to hit the ground and all kind of stuff. But mama knew what she did. And mama come back around with a nice little swoop. And before you know it, she just reach out with her foot. She got you. If there's another one falling, she'll reach out with the other foot. She'll pick up the other one. Mama ain't gonna let you fall now. Amen. And if it's another one falling, she'll get that one with the beak. Yeah. Yeah. But mama carry them all right back to safety. Yeah. Maybe one got out of the four and like, oh, mama, that was good. I don't need no more flying lessons. I got this. Watch this. But the other's like, mama, please don't ever do anything like that. My heart dropped. I had no idea what was going on. You didn't tell me. You did not prepare me for this ride. You didn't tell me anything about it, Mom. So don't do that again. Mama know you're an eagle, and you're going to have to learn how to fly. So she'll give him a little bit more time to just get comfortable. And maybe next time she put him on her wings, and they go out, they're like, I ain't letting go. I know what mama did last time. So I'm going to let y'all get comfortable. Now she let them take maybe a couple more rides. They're just so comfortable with mama. Then one day she get them, and they think they're going for a ride. They get dropped again. Boom! You better fly or die. And there's something about the eagle, that's instinct that kicks in and realize that I was made for this. I was actually made for this. God designed my body and built me to be able to fly like this. Fly, what am I talking about flying? What you talking about? I'm talking about flying into the scripture, into the deeper things of God, understanding everything from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. He sent, he took, he drew. She swooped down with tremendous speed and screamed at the top of her voice for him to fly up to meet her. So this eagle has got to get up out of the condition that they're in. They got to make some effort themselves. This eagle has got to get up and start flying above the rest. Oh, my God. When I left my denominational church, that was me as an eagle getting up. Had to go tell my pastor not coming back. Huh? Come on, some of y'all done did that. Not coming back. Where you going? Oh, that's a cult. Is it? I done heard some things that I ain't never heard in my life. Call it a cult if you want. Look at this. He had never heard an eagle cry. But when he heard that first scream, something in him stirred and he longed to launch out toward it. But he was afraid to try. Again, that mother screamed for him to rise in the wind and follow her. As soon as you feel that wind come, get up in that. When you feel that anointing come, get up in that. He screamed back that he was afraid. Once more, she called out, screaming that he tried. Bearing his wings, he hurled himself into the air. And answering the cry of his mother, he soared off into the blue skies. You see, he always was an eagle. He acted like a chicken for a little while, but he could not be satisfied. But when he heard the call of the great eagle, he came to his own place. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word. See, I love that. That statement means so much to me. We talked about it last week. You know, the change of your body is going to happen by the Spirit, by the word. Music carries a certain spirit. And actually, different types of music carry different spirits. Rap music make you want to kill somebody, make you want to fight. It's almost a message of hatred in the rap, right? Country music make you almost want to kill yourself. Always talk about somebody leaving and she won't come back and I just want to drink my problems away. It's the same story with all of them. Huh? Rock music wants you to go make you want to bang your head against somebody. I mean, you done lost your mind. Rock music doing that to you. Hallelujah. And you got some girlfriend that you're not supposed to have. You put on the R&B trying to set the mood. I hope your radio blow up. Your iPod or whatever you got. Huh? But you're trying to set it. See, all type of music, it's got different spirits. And worship music make you just want to lift your hands in the presence of God. Huh? And then if you get a little, the shouting music. You put one of them on, you just ready to drop your broom and your dustpan. You ready to cut a step. That music got spirits. You know, people can be living for the devil and still hear gospel music with a shout and be ready to shout. Because music carries spirits. Well, I want to tell you, not only does music carry the spirits, but the word of God also carries a spirit. Not just a spirit, but the spirit. And as you listen to the word of God, them same feelings that come upon you with music, amen, you'll get different emotions when you listen to the word. Because it arise up in you, you'll be saying amen and not even wanting to say amen. Amen. Where that came from? Glory. It's a spirit in the word, and it's a spirit on the word. And that spirit is what's producing the change in your body. The same spirit is when you get into the spirit of the composer, the one that wrote it. Like I say, you really get into what David's saying here. You can stop and pause. He sent from above. Just like he sent a prophet to David's house, sent one to my house. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. All the people that he could have selected. I just start going back to elementary school and middle school and high school. All the kids that graduated with me. All this, but he took me. I was sitting there just like the rest of them. But why did he come down and just grab my hand and come walk with me? Why did he do that to me? It's because of his love. I think I read earlier, because he delighted in me. Church, I'm so grateful. He delighted in me. I can't say that for everybody else, but I know about he delighted in me. And let me tell you, a woman that gets married, and when she's so happy about that husband coming to propose to her and she accepting his ring, she is not embarrassed to wear that man's ring. And she's not embarrassed to be called his wife. She's not going to feel bad about being his wife. You know, I'm sorry. He didn't choose you. He chose me. And my expectation is that he is only married to me. Once the true Son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word, he too will realize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle. That's the Lord Jesus, the great prophet eagle, and be with him forever seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Sometimes if we just stop and just think about what it is that is written here in Scripture. Lord, it's a something that changes us from the inside. And my prayer, God, is that as the word is preached, that the people would realize how special they are to you. David was, it was shown that he was very special. He was selected to be king amongst his brothers. He was selected to have the anointing that the others could not receive. And though they might have been jealous over him and all of that, it didn't change who he was in you. Father, my prayer is that we would realize as you sent a prophet to David's house, you sent a prophet in this day, God, to call us, to give us something, Lord, that many others just could not receive. And that was this revealed word that we could walk in the light. That's why you even David reflected, he said, you know, you are my lamp. You will light my candle. In my darkness, you will light my candle. I don't have to stumble around. I don't have to be afraid. I can walk in that light. And God, the church world is so full of darkness. But, oh, God, you've sent us light that we can walk in it. Light that gives us clarity, that gives us understanding, that gives us truth. You told us we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Thank you that we can hear your voice through the word as it's presented. We hear the voice of God, and a stranger we will not follow. We understand how you've done things. We understand your promises. We understand the scriptures, Lord, that said you would do what you have done. We understand it. And Father, we're grateful for it. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Glory to God. Amen. Maybe we can have Sister Burrs just sing us a little chorus of that song, He Drew Me Out of Many Waters. Amen. And after she, amen, just sings a chorus or so, Brother Quaker, if you would just come and close us with a word of prayer. Amen. On today after Sister Burrs sings. Amen. Glory to God.
Will love you, oh my God, and I
praise. I will bow down with my heart. Oh, I will bless you all my days. Said I will love you, oh my God. I will lift my voice and praise. I will bow down with my heart. Oh, I will bless you all my days.
I will love you, oh my God.
My God.
I will lift my voice in praise.
Praise.
I will bow down with my heart. I will bless you all my days, for you drew me out of many waters. You rescued my soul from the depths of the sea, and you named me among all your sons and daughters. Such grace you have extended to me.
Oh,
such grace you have extended to me.
Said I will love you, my God. Oh, I will lift my voice in praise. I will bow down with my heart. Lord, I will bless you all my days.
I will love you, oh my God.
My God.
And I will lift my voice in praise.
In praise.
And I will bow down with my heart.
Lord,
I will bless you all my days, for
yeah,
you drew me
out
of many waters.
Oh,
you rescued my soul from the depths of the sea.
Oh, you named me among, your sons and daughters.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh,
such grace you have extended to me.
Oh, Lord,
such grace you have extended to me. For you drew me out. Yes, you did.
Yeah,
for
you drew me out.
From the depths of the sea.
And you named me among,
yes you did,
all your sons and daughters.
Such grace,
oh Lord,
such grace you have,
yes,
extended to me. I thank you for your grace,
oh Lord,
such grace you have extended. Come on, sing it one more time. For you drew me out.
Yeah,
for
you drew me out.
Yes, you did.
Many waters.
Hallelujah. Rescued
you
my soul.
Rescued my soul.
From the depths of the sea.
Depths of the sea.
Oh, you named me
above. Yeah, you named me
among
all your sons and daughters.
Such grace you have,
yes,
extended to me.
Oh
God,
oh, yeah,
such grace you have,
you've
extended to me. I know you did,
oh,
Jesus.
Lord,
such grace you have
extended
to me.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. How can we thank the Lord for such a wonderful word? The Lord always has a portion of eternity for us. And I pray, it's my prayer that this portion will fill our hearts, that it doesn't stay just in the church, but you take this word and manifest it like a plant, like a seed. This is a huge portion the Lord has given to us. God bless Brother Jack. And we are the receptacles of the word. Let's go out here and manifest Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Way before the foundation of the world, you have ordained this day, Lord. You drew us. You took us, Lord. And Father, you called us, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for the portion of eternity, for the portion of the word that you've given to us, Lord, this hour, this very time, Lord Jesus Christ. It is so beyond our understanding. It's not intellectual, Father. This is Jesus Christ himself. This is your word for your predestinated, Lord Jesus. Father, may you set a captive free, Lord. If there's anyone who hasn't received your fullness of the word, who hasn't received the Holy Ghost, Lord, let this word, Father, I pray, be planted deep in the heart of each and every person. Bring the transformation power, Lord. Bring the manifestation of Christ. Take the old person and the works of the old man. And Father, you the Christ, the new man, Lord. The one from the 8th day, Lord. When the 7 churches are over. When Christ himself, Lord, is standing in our tabernacles. In our flesh, Lord. Manifesting your glory, Father, I pray. Lord, transform each and every heart, Lord. Let be like the days of old. Let be like the day of Pentecost, Father. Where the people didn't care about this world, but all their hearts, Lord, was the fire of God, was the light that you drop into their hearts, Lord. Father, may we take our own world and our desires and the attractions of the world and the pride of life and the affections of the eye, consume them with the fire, and let the Christ, the Holy Ghost, Father, take preeminence, Lord Jesus Christ. Take every shackle that the enemy has put on your children. Father, we are eagles, Lord. But so for your purposes, Lord, we fell under chickens, Lord. If there's anyone still under chicken barnyard, Lord, redeem them with this word, Father, I pray. Liberate your people, Lord Jesus. Remove the shackles of hell, shackles of ungodliness, shackles of sin. Father, consume them from your elect, Lord Jesus Christ. And let the holy presence that come from the He drew me, He took me, you rescued us, Lord. Let it be a rescuing power unto us, Lord Jesus. Father, let us go and testify. Let us go, Lord Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed of the word that you sent to your prophet, but let with boldness of the Holy Ghost, Father, make this word a living Christ. Bless our precious pastor, our precious brother, Brother Jack, Lord. Fill him with double portions, Father, I pray. That, Lord, when we meet again, Lord, you will give him more for us, Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our instrumentals, the song. Thank you, Father, for the body of Christ. Thank you for the children. Thank you for the sisters. Thank you for the brothers. Let each and everyone stay in their post of duty, Father, as you have ordained and decreed for us, Lord, that your glory, the oneness of the Spirit, the holy presence of God will shine in our hearts. Father, we give all the glory to you, Lord, for the portion that you've given to us this day. May your name be magnified and glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.